The following is a presentation of the Black Hollywood Live Network, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment, Hollywood redefined. From Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is Black Hollywood Live, the Black Tea Party, featuring weekly discussions on political news and current affairs. Black Hollywood Live, Hollywood redefined.
You're listening to Black Hollywood Live.
And now, the host of Black Hollywood Live, the Black Tea Party.
Yes, we're back. We're down one female this week. We're down one female, but that is okay. This is the Black Tea Party on Black Hollywood Live. I am Ron Moore, and joining me in studio, as always, is across from me, Mr. Don Nash. How are you?
I'm good, man.
How are you? Ah, man, I'm doing good. Especially every time I hear this song, it puts me in a different place.
Yeah, I was just about to go in myself. I started to get a little swag nod. Yeah.
See my cover photo?
And also joining us, Mr. Michael T. Mike, the crazy white guy in the studio right now.
Yeah. Hey, what's up, guys? Blame me for what she's gone. It's probably... I make things awkward.
She was busy.
No, I know.
Miss Stacy, I cannot be here tonight.
Miss Stacy.
Yeah, we will miss her this week. But wasn't a lot of big political... I mean, there was some political news. You had the Obama deal with... I don't even want to talk about that story because it's a big non-story to me. It's like more Benghazi type of story.
Oh, yeah.
Which Obama one?
The one with the guy with the beard and the dad and the Marine and the...
it's so funny. Now we have the memos from the GOP,
mm-hmm.
and it's like they were the ones like, no soldier left behind.
We don't leave a soldier behind.
This was a guy who was abandoned at a post. Nobody made any attempt. And eventually he was like, I guess I gotta go.
Yeah.
And he got caught. So like, are we really gonna call... And now they're calling him a deserter.
Yeah.
So then... It's just so
that story
fucking ridiculous.
Has just changed so much.
I don't know what the truth is. I don't even know how to feel about it.
Yeah,
he's with his family, right?
Okay. And the story has evolved three different times in the last 3 days.
Right.
So I didn't even want to touch it.
Right?
Yeah, because I got a feeling it's gonna be just a big non-story at the end of this.
Yeah.
Oh, it's fun though.
Yeah, it
it's
is
a fun.
Fun
one. It's fun to watch the GOP eat
that's
their
true.
Own words.
But we
in this situation, this that's what I'm happy about. Is they're showing how political they did a poll this week, and it showed people were really upset that, like, including Republic. My parents are upset. They're like, why would they just demean a soldier like this? And especially when those memos came out, my dad was not very happy.
Yeah, didn't think that he would be.
He's a Republican guy. He's not a.
Because it's not about doing anything. It's just about hurting President Obama now. That's all.
I mean,
it seems to be that way.
That's all it is. But. Let's talk about something else President Obama did. I can't count how many years it's been since the U.S. has been a do as I say, not as I do type of country on climate change and pollution.
Great point.
And things of that nature. But this Monday, President Obama's administration announced plans to finally demand that power plants cut back on carbon emissions.
Kind of.
There's always a loophole.
There's always a big goddamn loophole in this one.
And they're trying to, the EPA, the new EPA rule is trying to get them to reduce emissions by 30% all the way in 2030. That's pretty much when, compared to the getting back to the levels that they were in 2005, because we've gone up a lot in the last decade.
Right.
But
we also dropped considerably over the last 3 years, though, right? I think I saw a study that we're about
10%
lower.
We're 10 to 15%, depending on which study you look at. That's actually every year we've improved by 10 to 15.
Yes.
So, unfortunately, we can do as much as we want until the world gets together and says, China, get your shit together.
Yeah.
Nothing's going to change. Because as much as we've done, our 10% last year was like China raised theirs by 20%.
Yeah.
So not only did it negate our 10%,
right.
because of their huge population, they did so much damage. And the UN needs to look in and be like, China...
India and China, get your shit together.
Well, I mean, I'm with Rome. Like you said, we've always been do as I say and not as I do. And now we're going to do it. Mm-hmm. And I think with seeing that annual decrease that we've seen, and now America taking kind of a leadership position, you know, I think that's great. I think we get in front of the eight ball and we take a hit for the team.
But I would agree.
Are we really taking a leadership position, though?
No. I think so because I don't think that we've had an American president that has ever taken such a firm stance on this particular issue.
That's true.
And
I grant
this is
you
a global
that.
Issue.
Until you find out, like, Johnson & Johnson, GE, the Koch brothers, all the biggest polluters in the country are getting kind of an exemption to this.
Yeah.
They're going to have way less, and the idea is they get more if they give up innovation, they can actually, they don't have to cut as quick.
Right.
But there's loopholes in there. Basically, we're stuck in the same thing. It's a good policy. I'm not going to say the policy is bad, but this is what's going to happen. Predicting it because it's happened since the 70s, destroyed our factory system, and it's going to happen again because all these factories are just going to go overseas because we refuse to tax companies that leave this country.
Exactly.
That would keep American – because in other countries, this is what they do.
Yeah. That's exactly
in Ireland, if you want to take Guinness out of Ireland, they go, okay, that's cool. But every dollar you make outside of there is taxed as an import, and we refuse to do that. And that's why we don't have American jobs anymore.
And if we tax them, they stay here, and then they still have to adhere to such –
Well, the idea is that
rules,
they make the idea is to tax them to where it's not profitable to go to another place like China, where they'll actually get to be way worse than they are currently.
They get to be way
which
worse
means way worse emissions, but we won't put the foot down.
It's the same reason Apple has the majority of their production facilities in China
and Microsoft.
Yeah, Microsoft is
Dell was the only one American
that's actually stayed in America.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Yeah. I usually don't agree with you.
Well, I mean, you just
That's a good point.
But that's true. I mean, that's been pretty much the status quo for the last 20, 30 years, I believe.
Yeah, pretty much. And so because we won't tax them, they're just going to send these factories overseas. More American jobs are going to go over. We're going to have worse pollution because they have worse standards there because the UN won't step in because China has the money that they're bankrolling everybody. So goodbye, polar ice caps. See you later. It was nice having you.
After we do all this work, goodbye, polar ice cap.
Well, I'm moving back to Nevada where I'm going to have beachfront property at this point. That's
another thing that people have been saying that, and that's always been the Republican argument. Mm-hmm. The few who actually do say, let's say the science is true and this is all factual, is it too late to do anything about it? And the answer most of the time is, we're going to get hit. We're going to take a lot of hits economically for this change to happen.
Yeah.
But we're still going to it's not even fiscally responsible is their approach. It's not fiscally responsible to take a stand and try to throw money against this argument because it's so much money that it would take.
Right.
I think people have, like, I'm a big science nerd kind of guy. I like to read about science. So this is kind of my alley where I actually know stuff. And the problem is a lot of times, these things get played political and we don't listen to science anymore. We stop listening to the science, which is what happened this week when the the science board in Congress, the Congressional Committee for Science, looked at the EPA thing that the World Health Organization put together.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, and
WHO.
They put together a whole thing, and then they go, "Nah, we're not going to take that."
Yeah,
we're just not. Even though every scientist, 98%, has vetted this and said this science matches up, we're just going to ignore it.
And that's been a huge problem.
It has been a huge problem.
And there's more Republicans on that board than Democrats. I wonder why it didn't pass.
But National Resources saying that this is actually going to help us economically and not so much hurt us economically.
Yeah,
they're thinking that it's going to create something south of 200,000 jobs, right?
The regulations?
Right.
In China and India and Thailand.
the majority of our pollution.
Tax break from
the majority of the pollution in the U.S. comes from our electricity.
Yeah.
That's the majority of
it.
But yet and still, a lot of the cleaner industries, they still take hits from Republicans who don't want them to prosper at all. That's why Germany is taking a super lead on solar energy as opposed, because a lot of the Republicans
have so much less sunlight. they're like so Seattle, but worse.
Yeah.
No, I'm not kidding.
No,
like when
true.
You look
that
at their demographics,
true.
It's like Seattle, but like all of the summer when there's no sun.
Yeah.
And most of their countries run off solar energy. We have the Mojave Desert.
Yeah. Just out there.
Just there.
I'm
just
agreeing tonight. I don't know. It's off. Must be a full moon.
And I understand. it, the question to me is, when will the question change from money to responsibility?
When it's too late.
Yeah. Exactly. Because I understand all the Republicans, what the GOP is doing, they're playing to their base, which is a lot of coal, mm-hmm. a lot of oil states. I understand that. You have to keep these people working. I get it. Right. They don't want to say goodbye to those industries. But when is the point going to happen that they realize if we don't do anything, in 2100, this planet will look completely different from how it looks right now?
Well, do you think, white guy in the booth?
Yeah.
Here. Do you think
you gotta give us a white guy, man.
Yeah, it's white guy out and on the stage.
Do you think the negative connotation people put towards nuclear energy affects their decision to push for oil and coal? Because nuclear energy remains one of the cleanest sources of energy, even though it generates the waste, it's one of the cleanest sources of energy, and people like to lie about it a lot. People like to vilify it.
With them.
And mm-hmm. I want to read you something. My brother is huge on this, and my dad actually works for the EPA. So when he sees things like this, he's like, really? So Gina, who is the head of the EPA, she did a Reddit AMA where she would take questions and she would answer them, or in this case, non-answer them. So the question that my brother used an example was, hi, Gina, I'd love to hear what your opinions are in regards to nuclear power versus fossil fuels, specifically as it relates to how best to deal with nuclear waste.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, the head of the EPA responds, when it comes to nuclear, we know there are some questions, but there's no denying that it's carbon-free and will be part of the energy mix. On the issue of waste, it's been a long-standing challenge and one that needs a long-term solution. Folks across the administration are working on it. So really, like, people, they don't even know what they're talking about when they get into talking about nuclear energy because they're not educated on its benefits, so they don't know how to implement it in a way that is going to be energy efficient and actually provide for the people that it could provide for.
Wait for 1 second. I just realized something.
You agree with him.
All four of us agree for once.
Dude, did you know 80% of the country agrees? That's not even just... This is like, exactly, okay, all we need is one person to come in and say no, and this is the country.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what your political leaning is. Everyone sees this as a problem. It's because everything gets politicized.
Yeah.
And like I saw in Nevada, here we saw thousands of jobs that couldn't go anywhere else. They were going to build a place there to put all the nuclear waste.
Mm-hmm.
It was very safe. When you look at the science and what the scientists put together, it's perfect. It's the exact location you'd want it.
Yeah.
People have an idea of shipping nuclear waste across the country as if it'll explode or something. If you understood how safe these containers are, it's implausible. We watch too many movies, and because of that, we have a fear.
The trucks are going to explode. It's going to leak into a stream, and the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles will become real. Like, that's what a lot of people think is going to happen.
Yeah, and it's very viable. There's places you shouldn't. California is a place maybe we shouldn't have it because of the earthquakes. So that's a legitimate concern. But why doesn't Nevada have nuclear power? Why are we doing coal power in Nevada? Why are we shipping coal all the way to Nevada, when it has the Mojave Desert and plenty of room for power plants? It's a clean, efficient way of making power. And
truck drivers like to gamble.
Yeah, I'd be taking people out of casinos, probably.
Yeah.
I'd say it's more money. The casinos weren't so much. It was environmental groups who were somewhat misguided in they're living in fear-based things. They're doing the moving the goalpost logical fallacy. Mm-hmm. I hate to go off on this. I'm sorry, guys.
No, you're really on one. Go ahead. Yeah.
But the Sierra Club got
big
involved.
Environmentalist people.
Yeah, and I am an environmentalist person. And I hate to see, like, okay, we have this clean source of energy. Does it have its drawbacks? Of course, like every source of energy right now has its drawbacks. This one's very controllable, can give a lot of people a lot of energy.
Yeah.
We don't have to rely as much on coal.
Yeah.
We can keep environments. It's a no-brainer.
Yeah, let me give you these stats real quick. In 2012, 37% of U.S. electricity was from coal. 30% was from natural gas, 19% from nuclear power plants, 7% from hydropower, and 5% from renewable resources, wind, solar. And by 2030, just over 30% of U.S. electricity will come from coal and the same amount from natural gas. wind and solar and all other alternative methods are expected to rise up to about 9%. This is in another 16 years.
16 years. Why? So that's a long time.
Yes.
For us to use some of our natural resources.
Yeah.
For us to change over to such what seems to be a commonsensical solution.
One would think.
But lots of jobs.
Education has been under attack.
That's true.
Yeah. But education has been under attack.
The good jobs.
The ones that we're looking for.
That?
The job creators.
Who would pay the workers? So we have a new energy source that is cheaper and cannot generate a high enough revenue to pay the workers who would need to be the ones to build it. So then we're working with a new renewable energy source, but at the same time the government cannot make money off of it, therefore they will not be able to pay workers to create it.
Put it in. Yep.
So the dilemma we're facing is that we're set up with 150 years of a infrastructure that was not planned to be in force for over 250, yeah. 300 years.
Yeah.
When you're changing an infrastructure of an entire country, it's so much more difficult. That's why you see the problems we have with the United States as opposed to when you see like the medical health care they've added in London and they've added in mm-hmm. other areas of the country, because it doesn't work when we have this many people over such a wide span.
Yeah.
Where to get one thing from one side of the country to the other, unless you're spending jet fuel, it's going to take 5 days, 6 days.
Yep. Yeah,
so exactly. You can't exactly just get things one place to another.
I love the latest thing that I just read. Well, I actually watched. They have a video on YouTube. I'm trying to pull it up. But,
France gets 75% of its energy from nuclear power, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know that. I remember that, actually. Just wanted to throw it in.
Well, but they always improve their power plants, so there's always jobs there. And, I mean, it's just, it makes sense. And because of that, they get to keep their resources just in case. Like, those are things we don't think about. We think about, we keep going to archaic. It goes down to everything. Our education system is archaic. The way it's run is archaic.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we far down in the, I mean, there's a lot of reasons. But part of it is education here hasn't changed since, like, the 40s.
I grant you that.
Our energy policy hasn't changed since, like, the 50s.
Definitely grant you that.
Our gun laws haven't mm-hmm. changed since, like, the 60s.
America's, the idea of American innovation seems like it changed sometime around, I want to say the 90s, really, even though it was probably before
that. I'd
say
late 80s.
Yeah, I would say late 80s. See, it's the ideas used to, in the 60s.
Yeah.
We were all about that. Let's find a way to do this. Let's find a better way to do that. Let's find a new way to invent this.
Because you know why that is, though? Why there's such a shift and paradigm switch between the 60s and the 80s is because, well, it is corporations.
Yeah.
And it's not like, to quote Team America, corporations being all corporation-y. No, it's...
corporation-y, new word.
Yeah. We found a way to fit that quote into this show. It's great.
It's the object of planned obsolescence. And when they developed this concept of planned obsolescence, instead of buying a fridge and knowing it'll work for 60 years, so the developers are like, hey, we got to build a better one, so they'll have to buy that
so
and throw their old one out.
Yeah.
Now they'll be – that's not planned obsolescence. That's what should happen. Planned obsolescence is, hey, you got to buy a fridge this year. We might not make a better one in the next 10 years, but you're going to have to buy a new one anyway.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Exactly.
That goes down to Chris Rock. He's telling me they can't make a Cadillac where the bumper doesn't fall off within 10 years. Like,
yeah.
It gets rid of innovation because they know somebody's going to buy another one, no matter how little they improve on it.
I've come here and I've shifted tonight. I thought we were taking a leadership position, but we clearly are following.
Yeah.
We're not leading.
They've taken – yeah, they did. Well, that's what's happened is – well, the corporations have put themselves in a position – this is what's happened. Corporations have gotten so big and powerful that there really is no competition is hardly at all. Like, we get all our stuff from very few companies.
Yeah.
And so when those companies also own companies and those are the competitors,
mm-hmm.
I'm putting competitors in quotes for those of you out there who are just listening, because there are no competitors. GM and Chevy are the same car.
Oh, yeah.
They're made in the same factories.
Can't compete mm-hmm. with yourself.
Yeah, but that's what they're pretending.
Right.
And Americans actually believe there's a difference between a GM mm-hmm. car and a Chevy car, which is hilarious.
Yeah. Well, it's because people have developed a new reason for the American dream. If you look at the American dream, it used to be create your own business, build that business up to as high as you can get it. Now, your goal for building a business is not to get it to the very top. Your goal is, hey, let me get this big enough so one of these bigger businesses will buy it, and then I'll be rich, and then I have my American dream.
But also, that's the way to actually win, because if they don't buy you, the chances of you making it in the marketplace are so low that you might as well sell, because they're going to take you out with their own thing. Generally, I'm talking in generalities for this, but you're right, Stephen. I totally agree.
Yeah.
But we've let corporations acquire. So look at this Time Warner Comcast deal.
Oh, yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Time Warner Comcast, AT&T,
Direct Television. Of a monopoly.
Yeah.
It is, absolutely.
Which will then
own the East and West Coast.
From, I think, four major telecommunications companies down to three.
To three.
Yeah.
And
may I say, fuck Time Warner. I hate them a lot.
And there still won't be anything to watch.
Yeah,
they're the two lowest rated companies. They're rated lower than ExxonMobil. Yeah. Like that, they're rated lower than Blackwater, which changed its name, and I can't remember what it's called. They're rated lower than Halliburton.
Yeah.
I will tell you this
on a side note. AT&T, and this has nothing to do with our topic, and we're going to get right back to it, but AT&T, who is attempting to buy DirecTV, I predict it now, will step out if DirecTV cannot finalize that deal with the NFL.
I'd agree. I see that.
That's what they want.
I can see that.
They want the NFL Sunday ticket deal.
Yeah.
But right now, DirecTV is fighting to keep that deal because they're negotiating with the NFL right now. The NFL knows it, and they know that AT&T won't buy them unless that deal is in place. So they are literally sitting in the catbird seat, as if the NFL needed another advantage.
I think Mark Cuban's right. The NFL is going to slowly fall out of style slightly. One, because of all the money. Two, people are not as happy with the football they're watching. They've made so many rules that make it so. Just play flag football at this point. I don't care.
But anyway, let's get back to what we were talking about. Going back to, we were all talking about the money.
Yeah.
Neil deGrasse Tyson. What day was this? This was the 4th. Mm-hmm. He released an article basically saying that climate change will challenge our capitalistic system. It'll change our culture because the rich people will not care. And it's true. Rich people won't care about this until it hits them in their pocketbooks.
Yeah.
When that starts happening, that's when rich people usually start paying attention.
Yeah.
So
when they start having to buy giant walls to keep out the giant waves that are hitting them because of tsunamis, that's when they'll pay attention.
Yeah.
When something's actually going to happen to their Malibu house, that's when you get their attention. But like, there's so much opportunity for innovation. We can invest in NASA right now.
Mm-hmm.
And people look at NASA and they don't understand how many billion. Did you know NASA every year releases all the research they did for free?
Right.
Ever since the 50s.
Yeah.
Because of that, we have cell phones, microchips, microwaves. Just name a modern technological product. But we have certain strains that can live without water of seeds that can survive in deserts.
Wasn't there a budget cut for them? Weren't they back last year?
But for every dollar we spend on NASA, the government actually gets $7 back in tax revenue because of the innovations by NASA. And NASA does studies on, but because they've been so drastically cut, we can't get those studies. We can't find the information, and the innovators can't grab the information and make products for us.
Had to pay for a war.
Well, you know,
you doing 2016.
Well, you know, the worst thing is when you say it has to pay for a war. War is another great innovator.
Cut the war budget by half.
It used to be phenomenal. America would go to war and boom, economic resurgence.
Because we used to also pay taxes for our wars,
and now
everyone's taxes went up to pay for a war.
Yep, but now. They do not.
It's like now it's like the credit card bill comes in. It's like it's like when you're broke and you look at the credit card bill, you're like, oh, look, the number changed.
Yeah.
It's like that's all you got.
America
now.
Looks at
that's the way we look at our national debt.
Yeah.
Right.
We look at it as if it's the receipt at a restaurant and we get the sticker shock and we look at it and we just put it down and continue the conversation.
Yeah.
If I just keep talking, I won't ever have to pay this. We'll just sit here until the place closes.
It's a way
of
life.
That's it.
Yeah. I'm gonna be out of debt. That's the idea.
That's
I think our next step is just take over North Korea and sell to China and pay our debt.
What are you doing 2016?
We got this great piece of land for you guys.
Hey, why not treat the army like a private contractor like Blackwater and send them to fight wars for other people? Right. Why not?
Wow.
If we're going to pay all this money, why must we go to war and pay people to do it?
I mean, if we're already going to hell.
Yeah, exactly. Now we got Jesus.
Oh, man. I'll just, we'll close this out with.
Just to say that was satire, people, just so you know.
Yeah, just so they know.
We were not serious.
So people do not get angry.
Don't get angry. I'm
please
an atheist.
Don't
it's
send
okay.
Steven Wait hate me. Mail. Don't send Steven hate mail.
Follow him on Twitter.
But if you do, we'll read it on air.
Yeah, we will. We will. We'll read our best hate letters on air.
Right.
Yeah, just like Jimmy, what was that, Jimmy Kimmel Show?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Jimmy
Kimmel.
Oh, mean tweets.
Mean yes. tweets, yeah.
Sophie Vergara, you have my heart.
Tweets.
But yeah, Mr. Tyson closed out by saying, I'd like to think governance is based on objectively verifiable truths. Otherwise, what kind of culture have we created? That was his quote toward the very well-funded climate change denial movement that exists, that's paid for by the Koch brothers and every major oil company and, you know.
Not Exxon.
Except for Exxon.
Except for Exxon. I will stick up for them because they're actually... See, this is what Exxon
is doing.
They're
actually trying to make money on
Exxon's
the other side
Exxon's trying to move away
it.
From petroleum.
Yeah, they're trying
Exxon's
to make money on
making
the opposite
algae
side.
Diesel gas so that they can sell diesel still, and it's a renewable energy, and it's cleaner, and they can control the production. They control all
That's
the costs.
That's the smartest thing to do. You
no
jump
shit.
To the other side. Jump to the other
all
side.
All these old companies don't want to change... It's like the music industry.
Yeah.
You see it with the music industry.
Man,
I understand illegally downloading music.
I'm going to go to
what?
Tower
you
Records
lost.
Right now.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Go to Virgin Records while we're at it.
Right.
Like, it's a dead industry because they wouldn't change.
Right. Right, right.
And here we had CD burners, then we had Napster, now we can just direct people-to-people download. Yeah. And I'm not saying it's not stealing. I'm saying you didn't change anything so that people would want to do what you're doing. That when a person making $8 an hour looks at a $20 album and they love that art, they're like, oh, I'll just go to the concert. And that's actually what they found out.
Yeah.
It's just people went to more concerts.
I think that the
recorded.
Climate change should be taught in churches before LAX is underwater and Statue of Liberty is halfway underwater. That's just what I think. Because the Republicans, well, I'm not going to even say the Republicans, because it's not all of them, but the majority of the conservative thinkers who think that way, that's where they seem to take their cues from, as opposed to, like, I told a guy the other day, I said, it's okay to believe in one, not believe, or believe in both.
Right. I think that's the smartest
science.
Way.
Yeah.
And listen to scientists. John Oliver did it perfect. He did an actual analogy where Bill Nye is always the guy fighting for it. He's the only one, because most of the scientists... And I disagree with the scientists in this. They think their way of fighting it is if we talk with the climate deniers, then they win because that makes them unequal.
Oh, yeah.
Not at all. You're talking to people who want to know the truth.
Yeah.
Use it as a
prop. People who need to be educated.
Bill
on
Nye did it perfectly with Ken Ham on the evolution debate. Took 10 minutes to destroy Ken Ham and used the rest to talk about science education.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know a Christian who watched that who wasn't like, damn, yeah, Bill Nye had good points.
Mm-hmm.
But back to John Oliver. It's always Bill Nye. It's always him and one climate denier. What's that look like? It looks like there's one guy. It's a 50-50 split.
Yeah.
So what he did was he went and said, well, 97% of scientists are on Bill Nye's side. So he brought in 97 scientists with Bill Nye, 96 others.
Right.
And then had three and said, okay, now let's have a debate. This is a fair debate because you three don't
this
have any information.
Yeah.
Yes.
No information at all.
This is your representation.
People don't know how to science. That's the way I put it.
Just like,
I think especially Christians are really, you know, they kind of shun science a lot because for so long it was used to disprove the object of their faith, right?
True.
So there's a resistance.
Well, we need to use just an analogy that kind of caters to them to explain the ice caps melting and things like that. So it's like, now coming in 2026, Noah's second coming, the rains, the water flooding through half the United States. I mean, just kind of
hallelujah.
Use an analogy. I mean, I don't know.
The
Bill Nye debate was great because he talked to the people like they were children.
He communicated
access to information though.
Exactly.
And I think when you give people access to information, they can really sit with it. Outside of that, they're ignorant of it, and so they're intimidated, which means they'll probably resist it. So, there was even thought that he was speaking to them in a condescending way.
Well, no,
but
no,
I thought
no.
He packaged it really well.
He did. And well, the first 10 minutes, he was like, "This is how we know that." He spent a good 15 minutes just going, "Boom, boom, 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 boom. Look at all our evidence."
Right.
Yours is a book written 2,000 years ago, before science. It goes back to that thing where you have scientists at the Vatican going, how could there be science in the Bible?
Mm-hmm.
Science wasn't around during the Bible. I'm playing devil's advocate here.
Right.
But I mean, and I'm an atheist, so I look like an asshole right now. It's fine. But before it's now. Not. It doesn't matter whether. This is the thing about science. It doesn't matter if you believe in it or not. It works, and it works every time. Neil deGrasse Tyson said it. Bill Maher said it. Bill Nye said it.
But it
works.
Also evolves, though.
And, but it also does. Evolves. And people don't like that.
Right.
People don't like that. Scientists look. If tomorrow
that
scientists
it may
came
not be
out
right the first time, yeah.
But scientists get they like being proven wrong because that's something else to learn.
That's something
and
else
that's,
to boost.
That's
toward.
The way. Yeah. The problem is people want consistency, and science is always changing.
Yeah.
And we got to teach kids that. That's the problem. We have a bunch of adults going, well, yesterday you said this cholesterol was good for us, and now you're saying these eggs are great. Well, we found something out.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have better information. Sorry you ate all those eggs. You know what I mean? I mean, it sucks. It does suck sometimes. It does suck to find out you were wrong about something. Mm-hmm. But that's what's so humble about science is they look and they go, oh, we were wrong. Now we're going to change. And that's the whole argument with climate change.
I think you're being really gracious there because I don't think that science always is so easy to say, oh, we made a mistake.
No, no, no. It
I
takes a, it, a long time. When it takes a long time. Some, I'm not
when
saying.
It draws a conclusion, it gives that conclusion as an authority.
Mm. Well, it gives that conclusion.
The best information it has at the time.
It does. And it gets sent out to – the way science works, here's a simple explanation. A scientist sits down with a thought, and then he sends that thought to all his scientist friends, and his scientists – are unabashed assholes toward him and try and point out every flaw
they try to make
in his
wrong.
Thing. And then he gets those drafts back. And then he takes it and then he has to go experiment some more. And then see how boring this is? Like, that's science.
That's it.
It goes and until the consensus by everybody, the majority, and we're talking 95% plus, and everyone goes, there's no more hole in that.
Yeah.
We can't, okay, this is the best information we have. So we have to go with it. One day, someone's probably going to prove the theory of gravity wrong with some crazy-ass experiment on things we can't comprehend now. That doesn't mean that we were wrong the entire time. It's just what we knew.
Mm. Jesus walked on water, so gravity's wrong.
Mm-hmm. Here we are.
Whole made.
Let's move on to Texas now. Stephen, if you could throw that picture up. Of the guys, there we go.
Yeah.
My favorite picture of the week. This is in a Target in Texas where, is that an AR-15 on this guy?
I believe it's an AR-15 right there.
Yeah.
I'm really crappy at guns, but on the left.
Basically, Target became the, is yet another corporation brought into this open carry argument.
I can't.
Texas is the main place that a lot of this is happening now, but this is Target, for God's sake.
It's Target. It's Target.
Target.
Yeah.
I understand people are trying to, they get super political and they want to make a point, but this is literally overkill.
It's not, the worst thing about this is Target and Chipotle and some other companies have come out saying we don't want assault rifles in our stores, please.
Sonic and Chili's
and
Chipotle.
So they trespassed. To me, this is intimidation. This is classic intimidation. I told you I don't want assault rifles here. You're going to walk in here anyway. And now you have a bunch of Target employees without guns. What are they going to do? Call the cops? Mm-hmm. What if one of these guys is a crazy person who is going to open fire?
It's not against the law for them to do it, though.
Well, they are trespassing at this point, but who's going to call them? They're intimidating.
I mean, but can you call that trespassing? I don't think that being classified as trespassing.
Yeah, because it's not against
state law. But if Target let guns be in their stores.
I mean, is Target going to go up to them and ask?
Yeah, but if they let guns be in their store and then these guys walked in, then these guys wouldn't try everything because everyone has guns.
What?
He's saying that no one would try to do anything in this Target. Because guys like this are in that
a
Target.
A crazy person would.
No, I
like
mean,
the
if
crazy
every,
person
if
would.
Everyone,
hold up, let him clarify.
If everyone in that Target had guns, nobody would be crazy enough to do anything with them because they just get
shot.
Yeah,
that's a false argument. And there's been tons of times people have gotten outraged in an argument.
I'm actually playing devil's advocate saying that.
I'm just letting you know that's a false argument.
I could hear the sarcasm in his voice.
I'm sorry, Steve. I didn't mean to lash out.
I could hear the sarcasm going right there. But yeah,
this is the thing that bothers me about the guns, you know, and the rights to bear arms. And I get it. Everybody, you got a right to do it. But these are the kind of people that concern me. It's the ones that are the extremists with it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this guy, I mean, the innocence of an Oreo bag.
Why the fuck do you need an AR-15 in a Target? Can someone please clarify?
While you're shopping for Oreos.
I don't care. Well, it is called Target.
I think
of course. Thank you, Steven. I knew someone was going to say
it. I set you up so good. You spiked that good. Bravo,
but yeah,
sir.
The group is Moms Demand Action for Gun Sense in America, which I think, even though it's an incredibly long name, it's right. a perfectly good name.
It is.
Because this is just stupid.
Yeah. This is ridiculous. And it's unsafe. Yeah, but I don't care how in control they think they are. But this is unsafe.
This makes the point, though. This they have a constitutional right to do this.
Yeah. That
and the
do.
Problem is
no,
that...
No, their constitutional right is being... They're taking it and trading it on Target who doesn't want AR-15s there.
No.
They're mocking them in their face.
They bring it into movie theaters where I don't want it there either.
True. That's what I'm saying.
You see what I'm saying? So what I'm saying is that where is the sense about it? I think... What's that long title that the moms call it?
Moms Against... So let me pull it up. Moms Demand Action for Gun Sense in America.
Gun sense is what we're aiming for. Yeah. I'm not trying to take away the constitutional
no,
right.
No, me
but
neither.
But you got to bring some sense and some sensibility to this.
And this is what the Target spokesperson told the Huffington Post, because since the data breach and everything, they're trying to be on top of everything, but they don't have a policy on guns. They defer to local laws.
Oh, is that what happened at this
one? That's a cop-out. They defer to the local laws, but it was a cop-out.
They're trying not to,
They don't want to get in there
and make a statement and get a
because
backlash.
Because they're scared, probably, also, because the people that brought in the guns that...
Because they know that they're probably two Twinkies away from snapping, so that's
exactly, that's my point. You know, yeah, I'm totally with you.
That's my point about this whole gun
thing. Oh, yeah, no, I'm telling you.
Like, it's not...
Are we arguing about, like, the same thing? I'm like, this is fucking ridiculous.
You guys are arguing the same thing.
2012, maybe? I could be wrong on this. I think it was something like 31,000 accidental gun deaths in America.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's what I'm saying. It's unsafe. This is just plain unsafe.
Okay, so being one that advocates for gun rights, right? Are you...
Yeah, I advocate for personal firearms... For self-protection, and I understand that in the country it's a little different. This is unacceptable to me.
Okay, but where do we draw the line where we don't violate the constitutional right, but we stand for protection of...
Automatic rifles, I think, is kind of a line to be drawn.
Yeah, that's right.
A lot of people have spoken out. I believe even the NRA, I don't have their
The NRA
actual...
initially said that is weird and please don't do it. And then when they got upset because they fund
then
the
they
NRA,
double back
they,
again.
They double backed.
Again, okay. Well, so, the NRA still doesn't
They got
have a
great
brain.
Balls when they're behind their AR-15.
Well, you know,
they don't have
issues.
Any real balls, but they do have it when they have a gun on them.
I think the problem with the gun laws is that...
Sorry.
Is that people who... Bad people are going to get guns no matter what.
Yeah.
And especially with 3D printing nowadays, everything that's available for people to create their own guns,
they can just make one.
They're going to get them no matter what. So basically, trying to limit everyone who wants a gun for the sake of having one, the people who are like, oh, I want a gun for the sake of having one, they're the people who probably aren't going to go on a shooting spree and kill people. But at the same time, I think that there needs to be
that
laws in place.
Every time, though.
Like, I think there needs to be laws in place for concealed and carry needs to be kind of the way to do it. I don't think people should be waving their guns around. I think the more kids see guns, the less they fear guns.
That can be a double-edged sword.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is. I mean, for example, this story here with this Target was that what they found a gun on top of a superhero box.
That was
box
the next day.
On top of a superhero box on a kid's toy aisle. Mm-hmm.
Me and him, he was telling me about the initial story, this one.
And then
we were at work, so I went in on my break, and I looked up, and that was the first story. So between him telling me
about this story,
had been that morning. It had been like a couple hours.
See, I think that's ridiculous to me. Yeah. I don't know what America wants to do about guns, but
I can understand people, you know, Second Amendment rights.
You don't
whatever.
Need an assault
that's,
rifle.
That's absolutely fine. Wherever we are right now, I'm not even going to touch that. I'm not even talking about gun rights. I'm talking common sense. You're carrying an AR-15 in a Target, which is, I don't know last time you were in a Target, but it's full of American moms.
And children.
Full
and
of children.
It's a family store.
That's all it is. Why do you need a gun to go in there and buy a Soda Stream maker? Like, what the hell
this
is the purpose?
This guy's got Oreos in his hand.
Yeah.
To be a dick. That's why.
And that's it.
Because you want to be a dick and be like, look what I can do, and you're not going to do anything about it because I'm intimidating you.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing.
Because if you look at that, like,
this is why people hate gun right activists, by
exactly.
the way.
They say what they want to say about black kids in hoodies, but this is scary as hell.
Hell yeah, a redneck with a gun, I'm fucking running the other way.
This is scary as hell.
Careful.
Careful.
Oh, yeah, I'll stereotype the shit. I'm right, I can say that.
This looks like a scene from The Walking Dead.
My family are rednecks, thank you.
Yeah, that's exactly what this looks like. This looks like The Walking Dead.
That's a good analogy.
The smirk on the dude's face.
And because he knows.
He's exactly being a dick. He's the same asshole who has truck nuts on his goddamn Chevy.
He knows exactly what he's doing.
This guy loves Kid Rock. I can tell you about this guy just looking at him.
We're Black Hollywood Live, so I think stereotypes are the first thing we should avoid. We should avoid the stereotypes.
Well, as long as it's not done by the blacks.
I'm stretching my muscles on getting the stereotype.
The black guys didn't say any of that?
None of it.
Yeah.
Please know it wasn't us.
Billy Joe? Is that Billy Joe or Billy Ray? Play a game.
I can't even say it, Ray. Oh, man. Wow.
That's my bad guess.
So okay. How about that Batman?
Yeah, let's let's get on to our fun story.
Dude, I'm so happy about this.
Now that Mike is completely...
I love this kid.
The outlook of that story. Oh, man. But, yeah. At Kim Ye, a.k.a. Kanye West and Kim Kardashian's wedding, Jaden Smith has become Michael T. Mont's new hero.
Dude, he's been my hero, though.
Yes. For the outfit wore to on the right. Yeah, that is Jaden Smith. I know people
are being walked
iTunes.
Down the aisle with Kanye, you mean? That's Jaden Smith?
Yes.
The guy on the right. In the tuxedo white, I guess.
How does he make it to the front row? Yeah.
For people on iTunes that can't see this, he's Kim Kardashian's sister's boyfriend, right?
I don't know, because those girls might be one of the Jenners. I don't know, they have a lot,
they're hot. They're 16 and 18 and they're hot. So they probably got a lot of boyfriends, but that's, Jaden Smith on the right wearing a
white Batman,
brilliant white Batman costume. I mean, from top to bottom.
I honestly love it. I love the fact that he's marching to the beat of his own twisted drum.
Dude, he's a 16-year-old kid who was like, woke up, he's like, I'm Batman.
But I think there's something pretentious
about
this.
Who didn't want to do that as a kid?
There's something pretentious about this that just bothers me. Dude, and I don't know if it's him or if it's Kim and Kanye.
No, it's him.
I mean,
I like this conspiracy theory.
Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus, you know? Yeah. Because look at all the dynamics surrounding this. And he's on the front row.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
He was the hero that Kimmy needed. Not the one they needed that day.
I don't really know what to say. There have been unconfirmed reports. A couple of blog sites have talked about it, of him running around at the reception.
I can imagine.
Throwing the cape over people's head and knocking glasses off of tables and literally running around being a 16-year-old asshole.
It's the best thing ever.
I am the day. I just do not believe this guy got up and put on a Batman costume.
I can.
Flew all the way
to
France.
You don't follow his Twitter, man. If you followed his Twitter, you'd be like, of course he showed up in a Batman.
Flew to Italy to be a part of this wedding and then ran around like a maniac.
I'm surprised he doesn't have a white Batmobile there. That's what I was surprised. There's no Batmobile.
He took the Batwing.
His date wasn't dressed as Harlequin.
He had to take the Batwing. He can't. He took the Batwing over. But yeah, go ahead, Dad. I want to hear your thoughts.
That's just my
what do you think about Will Smith and Jada Pinkett's parenting based off this photo?
I get it. They're twisted people. They have twisted children, I guess. I say that with all due respect. I'm just saying it up.
For those of us who work in Hollywood, those thoughts were the thoughts of Don Nash and Michael T. Mont alone.
I did not say that about him. I just want to hear his comment.
I said it. And I mean it with all due respect. They're just unique people.
Have you ever met Don? I mean, have you met Will? Yeah, because I know you've been in the circle for a while.
And he's a unique fella. I actually respect a lot of him because the guy's got great stuff between his ears.
Yeah,
I mean, he's got a sharp mind. Yeah. But they're unique people, and they have equally unique. I know I said twisted earlier.
This is what happens when artists raise
people.
A kid. Yeah, that's what it is. It's two artists raising a kid.
It's two artists raising a kid with a whole lot of money that don't have anything else to do to entertain them. They come up with crazy ideas. But I think this is in collaboration with Kim and Kanye. I do not believe this happened at their wedding.
I do believe that he asked Kanye if this was cool.
Guys, everybody, Kanye conspiracy. Hashtag Kanye conspiracy. Really? Let's make this a thing.
I really wonder.
This has to be a meme or something.
Look, I think it's a distraction.
Oh, it is.
There's something else in these photos we should be looking at.
Yeah.
But we're looking at him.
Do you think she wasn't happy with the size of her ass or something in the photo? I think it looks great.
I don't know.
They look great. I don't know who this guy is here. He looks a little bit like Bradley Cooper. but I know that's not Bradley Cooper. Cooper. I don't think he was there. You got this.
I like that guy looking right at Jaden.
He looks
in
like
the background.
Leonardo.
But I mean, what if that wasn't Kanye?
What if it wasn't Kanye or yeah. Kim?
Oh, and we're Jesus. Just looking at him, and nobody ever
that
notices
was the distraction. We all look at him, so we don't yeah. see so that. It's like two people that look like him yet.
That's it.
Because why do you get doubles? A 16-year-old white Batman at your wedding? I mean, come on.
That's it.
Dude, I think you can make a lot of money, because I would hire the shit out of that kid if I had 50 grand to have him
and
show
what
up
about
as
the fact that it's so genius that the Batman outfit is white?
he got it from a specific comic.
Oh, really?
I'm not a big Batman, but I saw an AV Club thing, I think it was.
Okay.
Where they mentioned that it was like his favorite Batman. It's like a specific look in one of the comics where he had a white suit.
What is it to be rich 16 and
dude,
son
I think
of
he's
Smith?
Really trying to become Batman. I think he might be what, taking his parents' empire and he's gonna buy a damn car and
well, that's
run around
not,
Los
I,
Angeles.
I think they cropped out Ben Affleck, and Ben Affleck's in the regular Batman costume.
Yeah.
And he's just,
he's
just sitting there angry.
Harry Cavill's by there in a Superman costume. Tobey Maguire and Spider-Man going, I want to get hired again.
Yeah. I mean, they're two artists something and incredibly it. Talented
incredibly
artists.
Incredibly talented.
Jada's phenomenal. Will
Can
is phenomenal. Yeah,
you have a fascination with this.
Oh, dude, I love
Mike,
Batman.
Mike has a man
kid.
Crush on Jaden Smith.
When you live your whole life in a prison, freedom can be so dull. That's
one
Jaden.
Of his tweets.
That's one of them.
Okay, give us
and
another
you chose
one.
That one, right?
Give us another okay. one. Give us another one.
I'm trying to find a good one. For every time you
you'll
get,
have to look okay. for a long time.
No, like a real. I know. I should have looked this up before.
Ah, that's a good one.
Which one? Jealousy just reassures your love.
I don't understand it, but
I don't
okay.
either. No,
nobody
I mean,
does.
He's in
the mind of a 16-year-old.
Dude, that's the thing.
That
it's like looking.
Suit.
I think why I'm like fascinated because I like got really into philosophy in high school, and these are the exact idiotic thoughts I had at 16.
Well, he's raised by Will.
I don't think that's. Yeah. I think
no,
these are the
you,
thoughts of like a
if
kid.
If you sit and talk
like,
with Will, if you sit and listen to him.
I see the same way.
No, absolutely.
Oh,
Will
looking
is
up Will
Will's
Smith
like
Twitter
on a
now.
Different. I don't know about his Twitter, but Will is on a different page.
He's on different different wavelength.
Yeah,
oh, that's the wrong one.
A lot of those guys are on different wavelengths. Like, Steve Jobs was never
oh,
looked
dude,
at
he did
as being.
So.
Yeah, he was never looked at as being normal.
No, he's not.
That so many great artists were. Now I know it's hard. We're looking at him at a wedding in a white Batman outfit.
Dude, he's 16.
But if he invents like the new Facebook at age 25, I wouldn't be surprised because
okay,
this
okay.
guy
first
is
of all,
so
Steve
out of the
Jobs
box.
Didn't really code. So let's not give him so. He was a great businessman.
He was a visionary.
Yeah, we'll give him that.
let's not set off Michael here. Careful, guys.
I'm just saying, let's be fair. Wozniak is the guy who made it.
Tread lightly.
Okay.
I'm treading just fine.
Best Halloween costume of 2014 will be White Batman, though.
Yeah.
Oh,
I believe
guarantee
it.
I'm buying one.
And how much do you want to bet that the Smiths have manufactured a line?
Oh, yeah, already.
They own a factory already. In China where five-year-olds are
their
already selling
house
them.
Is insane anyway. I can't even imagine growing up in it. Yeah, because I've been up there, but it's amazing.
It's like a prison because freedom is so dull.
So dull.
And now I'm locked inside this Batman.
Wait,
costume.
Steven, what was the other one? The really famous one that got people following him?
Why do people have eyes when they don't see anything?
Yeah,
that's brilliant.
That was it.
Damn it, brilliance.
Dude, he might be like the yogi of our time. Like in 10 years, we're just gonna be worshiping this dude.
You know what? He needs to do more
with Michael
of this.
Timon at
I
the top of the
I think you're worshiping him now.
Yeah. I think you already started. It's like they have a church of Beyonce. I think they should have a church of Jaden Smith.
They have a church
of
Beyonce?
Well, I'll tell you about it later. But yes, they do.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
I agree with Mike today. This is really great.
All four of us agreed.
See, we're all, like,
we agreed.
The world together.
You guys agreed on
I
a lot of
I actually shifted
stuff.
My position tonight.
Yeah, we had a
Take
shift.
Take a picture, write it down.
That's completely different. Wow. Clap your hands for this episode. And all of this, Stacey wasn't here to see it. Oh, man. I would have liked to have seen her face when we saw Jaden Smith. But
I know.
Anyway.
That might not actually be Jaden Smith. It's kind of...
True.
White Batman.
True.
I just hope he made everybody call him Batman that day.
They would ask him
Jaden, and he'd be like, you mean Batman?
It's actually Julianne Hough in blackface in a white Batman.
And that's where we're going to close it out at. Steven, where can the people find you or yell at you or get angry at you on Twitter?
You can find me in the booth as the angry white guy for Black Hollywood Live. Fred,
there it is.
The angry white guy.
That's actually his name now.
It's, is it really? We're taking it on.
Yeah. The thing last week, I'll tell you about it.
I read.
No, I mean the party. Oh, the party. Didn't know that was like his legitimate name now, but that was the party. Yeah.
Wow.
Mike, where can people find you?
Michael Timon on Twitter. I have another podcast, Empty Thoughts, and I'll be at Flappers June 19th in the main room at 8
p.m. There you go.
Yep.
Yeah.
And Don, where can the people find you at? At Will Smith's house or somewhere else?
No, because everybody's over there in white Batman costumes.
That's true.
I'm not going to be there.
I'm going to go as Robin.
And if I go, I'm going to go as the black one.
The black one? Yeah, you got to go as the black one.
You can find me at Don's Daily Dose on Twitter.
There you go.
That's it.
And you can always find me on Twitter at Rome the Ruler, on IG at Empire of Rome with underscores between the words. And you can find me somewhere making people laugh every night in Los Angeles. Tonight I may be at Flappers at midnight. I'm not sure. It depends on how I feel later.
Are you going to the mic?
I might.
Okay.
I might. Or I may go to Inside Jokes in Hollywood. But for Don Nash, Michael T. Mont, Steven, a.k.a. Angry White Guy in the Booth, and myself, we bid you adieu.
From producers Maria Menounos, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, Kevin Undergaro, and the entire BHL crew, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us at info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I'm your BHL announcer, Scipio. Instagram me at Planet Scipio. Thank you for tuning in.
Hollywood Redefined.
What? The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.